that week for Maundy Thursday worship at 7 o'clock, where we'll have our foot washing and Holy Communion, and then Good Friday worship at 7 o'clock as well the next day. Easter Sunday, we have our two services, 7 o'clock sunrise service out at the Columbarium, weather permitting. And then the Lutheran Men in Mission will provide a delicious and very hearty breakfast for us in the Fellowship Hall. And then our traditional festival Easter worship service at 10:30 that morning. So lots to look forward to as we make our way to remembering Jesus' death and resurrection. We have a couple of birthdays this week, Brantley. You ready to pray the birthday prayer? So Mandy Lawrence has her birthday this week, as does Taylor Fritz. And Megan Murphy and Jordan Kepley are remembering their baptism today, actually. So let us pray. Here, I'm going to let you use my microphone.
What a Lord has today, you say, you raise words of God and Mary, stand and restand. And call for this was sorrowful. Praise the most and they fall in your heart and pray for some branches. Oh, the sun.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And one last announcement. If you would like to give an Easter lily or a designation gift to the backpack program, you can fill out one of these forms. They're available, at each entrance. Each designation is $15. You can do it in memory or in honor of somebody. So you can do an Easter lily or a gift to the backpack program. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who makes a way in the wilderness, who walks with us, who guides us on our pilgrimage. Amen. Holy One, We confess that we have wandered far from you. We have not trusted your promises. We have ignored your prophets in our own day. We have squandered our inheritance of grace. We have failed to recognize you in our midst. Have mercy on us. Forgive us and turn us again to you. Teach us to follow in your ways. Assure us again of your love. And help us to love our neighbor. Amen. Beloved in Christ, the word draws near to you. In Jesus, God comes to you again and again and gathers you under wings of love. In Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven. God journeys with you and teaches you how to live in love. Amen. The love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, with steadfast love you draw us to yourself, and in mercy you receive our prayers. Strengthen us to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit, that through life and death we may live in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Kate. You have a beautiful dress on today. Oh, and you've got your shamrock. I love it. Good morning, Maddie. Hi. Are you having a good day today? We're so happy to see you. Well, there are two things I want to talk about today. One is, I just want to remind you that every single Sunday, there are children's bulletins in the narthex when you come in the red doors. Some are for those of you who haven't learned how to read yet, and then there's one for those of you who do know how to read. And these are filled with things that you can color, with different activities that you can do. And these activities kind of mirror what we do in worship, especially when you all go to children's church. These are some of the things that we talk about. So I just wanted to remind you every Sunday that these are back there if you want to get them to do some activities and some coloring. And then I wanted to talk to you about something that's actually going to happen next week, because it's going to happen before the children's sermon. So next Sunday is a special Sunday called Palm Sunday. Do you know what a palm is? There are two kinds of palms, right? There's the palm on our hands, and there's a plant or a tree called a palm. And there's a story in the Bible that when Jesus was going into a city called Jerusalem, so many people were happy to see him. They were so excited that it was like a parade for Jesus. Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, and the people were so happy to see him that they cut down palm branches from palm trees, and they were waving the palms to celebrate Jesus in that parade riding that donkey. And when they were waving those palms, they were saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." Can you guys say Hosanna? Yeah. Hosanna! Can you say Hosanna? You can, yeah. You can say Hosanna. Well, Hosanna, we say it in worship, actually, a couple of different times every single Sunday. But when you all come back from children's church, we sing a song called Holy, Holy, Holy. Do you know the Holy, Holy, Holy? Well, before we sing it, I say something like, we join our voices with the church on earth, the hosts of heaven, and the choir of angels. And we all sing a song praising God, holy, holy, holy. And in that song we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And so every single Sunday we remember that day when there was a really big parade for Jesus. So next Sunday, you might want to come to church a couple minutes early, because we're going to start worship differently. We're going to start out on the sidewalk and out on the steps, and everybody is going to get a piece of palm branch, and we're going to come into church waving our palm branches and singing Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. So I just wanted you to know what's going to happen next Sunday. It'll be different, but it'll be really special too. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for each other.
Thank you for each other.
And thank you for our church.
And thank you for our church.
We love having special days.
We love having special days.
With special songs.
Special songs.
And special things to do.
And special things to do.
So we're looking forward to
next Sunday,
when we get to remember
the special parade,
when people waved palms
and
shouted Hosanna.
And
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You all may go to Children's Church with Miss Tina this morning. And just a reminder, in two Sundays, on Easter Sunday, the children are going to play a special song for us on the children's handbells, so be looking forward to that.
The Old Testament lesson for today is from Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember that their sin is no more. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They said to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No. It is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it. And I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, An angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Mother and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I learned something this week, and it really connected with me, and so I wanted to share it with you. It's something called Passion Tide. I'd never heard of it before, but Passion Tide is the last 2 weeks of Lent, starting on the fifth Sunday in Lent, which is today. There's some disagreement as to when Passion Tide ends. Some say it goes through Holy Saturday, which is the day after Good Friday. Others say it goes through the afternoon of Maundy Thursday, which is technically when Lent ends, because the evening of Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday mark the great 3 days, or the Triduum. Now, these are a lot of special words that we use to mark time in Lent. But I really resonated knowing that there is something called Passion Tide, this idea that recognizes that something begins to shift today, this last Sunday in Lent before Palm Sunday. Passion Tide marks a time of turning toward the somber things to come. It's often acknowledged by the veiling of crosses with purple cloth or linen, singing more somber hymns, because during these last couple of weeks of Lent, we focus on the Passion, the suffering, and the death of Christ. I connect with this idea of Passion Tide because I've always felt something shift in my own heart the week leading up to Holy Week. It's kind of meaningful for me to know that there's a name for it and that others experience it too. That as we approach Holy Week, there's this sadness and heaviness that begins to grow in us, this tenderness of heart that begins to rise up in us. There's this sadness because Jesus has begun to turn his face toward Jerusalem, toward his final days, toward his suffering and his death. It even appears in today's gospel lesson when we hear Jesus telling his disciples that the hour had come and that his heart was troubled. The Greek word here, used for troubled, indicates agitation and great disturbance. I imagine that if we were to be expressing this, we might feel a jumble of emotions, and so we'd have to say several things all at once. We'd probably say, I'm upset, I'm unsettled, I feel on edge, I feel sad, I feel nervous and anxious, and I feel scared. Jesus, who was fully God, was also fully human, and he was experiencing emotions that any human would experience at the thought of their upcoming suffering and death. I don't know if you've ever experienced anticipatory grief, at least that's my name for it. But it's this grief that comes before something happens, right? When a change is coming, when for whatever reason things will be different, or at least the way we've experienced things will be different. Sometimes it happens when we have to say goodbye to someone or to something. We've experienced it when we know someone is going to die and we're walking with them toward death. We know it's coming. We've probably experienced it when relationships shift and change, which they do all throughout life. When jobs change, when children move out, when all kinds of things change, when there are goodbyes, when there are endings, there's something called anticipatory grief. The grief doesn't just come at the end, it comes before as well. And I think in today's gospel lesson, that's part of what Jesus is feeling, this anticipatory grief. I mean, think about some of the things that must have been going on in his heart and his mind. His earthly ministry was getting ready to end, as were the close relationships that he shared with his disciples and his family and so many others. His death was becoming even more real to him. He knew day by day that the religious and political leaders were becoming more and more incensed with him. He knew that they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted to eradicate his message. And the only way they knew how was by killing him. Jesus knew that he was about to endure the betrayal of one of his closest disciples. He knew that he would be mocked and insulted, spit upon, that he would endure contempt and rejection, the shame and humiliation of a criminal's death. And I know Jesus must have been thinking about the awful suffering that he would endure leading up to his death on a cross, because he witnessed others endure it every day at that time. Of course, his soul was troubled. It could have been troubled for any one of these things, but then to hold them all together, it's too much for one person. It's too much for one person to know about, let alone carry by themselves and endure it. There is a shift happening, maybe not just in me, but in you too, as we enter Passion Tide and as we enter these couple of weeks before Jesus' death, because we too know what is coming. And so there are three things I would like to lift up for us today to ponder in the coming days over the next couple of weeks. One, when we encounter Jesus in today's gospel lesson, it's clear that he is emotionally shaken, that he is experiencing emotional turmoil that we know will only increase. And yet he honestly shares with his disciples. He's vulnerable with them, and he tells them that he is troubled. He didn't keep it to himself. He didn't tuck it down and avoid it. He vulnerably shared with his disciples. And we know that Jesus is both courageously determined and vulnerably distressed. Jesus reminds us, and not only reminds us, but he models for us, that true courage doesn't replace or diminish fear. It always exists alongside of it. True courage doesn't replace or diminish fear. Jesus shows us with his very life that they coexist together. Two, Jesus reminds us in this passage that death must always come before resurrection. So often we just want the resurrection. We just want the new life, the new beginning. We don't want the death, the ending, the goodbye. But that always has to happen in order for the resurrection. And I'm not just talking about physical death. Sometimes relationships need to end in order for healing and new life to emerge. Sometimes we have to say goodbye to things in order for something new to emerge. In order for new life to come in the spring, fall has to come when things die and become dormant, and we have to go through winter before spring comes and new life emerges. Death always, always comes before resurrection. And three, in Jesus, again, who was fully God and fully human, God does not bypass death. Jesus didn't say, sure, I'll become fully human, except for the death part. I really don't want to die. And he also didn't say, I'll become human so long as I don't have to suffer. For us and for our sake, God entered fully and completely into human life. And not just part of it, all of it. Jesus was fully and completely human, which means that Jesus experienced suffering and death, enduring the totality of human experience. When we suffer, Jesus knows what that's like because he endured suffering. And when we die, Jesus knows what that is like too. Jesus did not bypass either suffering or death. He endured what we must endure too. So, brothers and sisters, as we enter into Passion Tide today, we are reminded that being a follower of Jesus means that we don't just follow Jesus in his life, but we follow him in his death as well. We are called to follow him to the cross and to stay there with him until he breathes his last. We are called to witness his suffering, to not look away from the agony and pain he endured. We're called to watch the blood and the sweat ooze from his mangled body, which was likely so disfigured that he was unrecognizable. We're called to hold our breath as we see him struggle to carry the cross. We grimace at the final push of the crown of thorns into his head. And even though we want to close our eyes during the scourging, during the beating and the flogging, and place our hands over our ears when they pound the nails into his hands and his feet, we are called to not look away, but to witness and observe his suffering and death. But if we're honest with ourselves, as people of the resurrection, we don't like to dwell on Jesus' death. We'd rather skip Good Friday and go straight to Easter Sunday. But I think we're called to resist this temptation. Because as followers of Christ, we know that death does not have the final word. We know that death does not have the victory. And so for the remaining days of our Lenten journey, as we journey with Jesus to the cross, as we ponder in our hearts and our minds all that his death means for us and for the world, may we keep at the forefront of our minds God's limitless and unending love for us and for all people that is revealed most fully and completely on the cross. Brothers and sisters, may God give us the courage to not look away from Jesus' suffering and death. May God give us the courage to witness it and to not avoid it. May we not look away, but instead behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God by whose scars we are healed. The Lamb of God who in dying defeats death forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven.
He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Trusting in God's promise to reconcile all things, let us pray for the church, the well-being of creation, and a world in need. God of the covenant, through the church you draw us into community. We give thanks for the means of grace around which we gather. Inspire writers, musicians, and artists whose creative gifts adorn our worship. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of all that exists, you lavish the earth with extravagant beauty. Preserve the rich and complex diversity of living things. Support local, national, and international efforts to protect the environment for future generations. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of the nations, you desire peace and plenty for all people. Defend those who challenge oppression and expose corruption. Support advocates for human rights, social justice, and the welfare of children. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of goodwill, you restore what is broken. We pray for any experiencing estrangement, conflict, or abuse in families and intimate relationships. We pray for all who are sick, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Scott, Joe, Neil, Jim, Mike, Anna, Jim, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of every time and place, you are with us. Support ministries of prayer and presence in the congregation, especially our prayer shawl ministry. Move us to reach out to any who are homebound, lonely, grieving, in treatment, or ill. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of promise, we give thanks for the saints whose faith inspires us. Grant us faith and trust to trust in your everlasting love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Accompany us on our journey, God of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. Today is also the third Sunday of the month, so we will be taking up for our basket offering, which is going to Silly this month, our younger children's youth group.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger for and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup, with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom. Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Here is bread for the journey, a feast for hungry hearts. Come.
Thank you.
Please stand for the table blessing. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
God, accompany our Lenten journey. Renew us in the gift of baptism, that we may provide for those who are poor, pray for those in need, fast from self-indulgence, and above all, that we may find our treasure in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Beloved children of God, we are God's own people, holy, washed, and renewed. God bless you and keep you, shower you with mercy, fill you with courage, and give you peace. Amen.
Let's say together our mission statement. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Jesus walks with you. Thanks to be God.